All right, I think we'll go ahead and get started. So my name is Richard Azariga. I work in the DX organization within Microsoft. For those not aren't familiar with that part of Microsoft, it's around developer experience. So it's working with developers and really trying to help developers maximize their use of our developer technologies. My specialty is really around Office 365, although I do a lot of things in the mobile space, which is kind of what brought me to this session today. And excited to talk to you guys about this. So this topic is on building cross-platform mobile apps with our Office 365 APIs. So I'll kind of set the ground a little bit in terms of this isn't a introduction to cross-platform development, although I'm gonna start pretty low and build up. I don't think I'll lose anyone, but I just want to let you know that there are more like introductory sessions, and I have some links to those later in the presentation today. So I'm curious, before I get started, and I can't see that well out in the audience, but I'll do my best to try to see. Who here came to this because they're interested in maybe Cordova development? Okay, how about Xamarin? Okay, so a little half and half. Who here would consider themselves someone that does a lot of, or maybe not a lot, but has done development with Office 365 and our APIs? Interesting. Okay, very cool. I like that answer. One of the things that we talk about with Office 365 is the sheer magnitude of users that are using that service, and as a developer that's building applications, you can really maximize on that and get a big audience for the applications that you write by targeting different services within Office 365. And there's a lot of great examples out there that you can go and view that are in all the different types of marketplaces to be able to do that. I have one other question, I guess. Who here carries as their kind of everyday phone is a Windows phone? Okay, how about iPhone and Android? All right, so it's a pretty decent split there. So that's really what has driven us to do a lot around cross-platform development talks. You notice that Microsoft's doing more and more in the space, investing more in tools to be able to deliver a cross-platform. The bring your own device movement has really pushed organizations to be able to deliver their applications on any type of device. It's very rare. It's on occasion I'll talk to an organization where they're like, well, we have a standard. And maybe there's a standard in your org, but it's probably a menu of things. Like you can have maybe an iOS device and or a Windows phone. And so that's what we commonly see, and that's really what is driving us doing a lot around this. I have this kind of token evaluation slide at the beginning and end. You guys can win prizes. Plus, it's very important for us to get feedback on how we're doing in these sessions. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what we're going to do. So the objectives of this session are to explore the different options for building cross-platform mobile apps with the Office 365 APIs. We're going to try to discuss how we integrate both Office 365 and Azure, because Azure and Azure Active Directory is a dependency on working with Office 365. We're going to talk about what are the unique constraints of working with those with both Cordova and Xamarin projects. We're also going to try to outline the different software and service requirements so that you can build these types of applications within Visual Studio. I know that you can build Xamarin and Cordova apps in other IDEs. This is really going to focus on Visual Studio, and that's honestly not the important part of this session. This session is more about integrating with Office 365. So, from a takeaway standpoint, I hope you guys walk away knowing that we have a comprehensive set of both SDKs and APIs, so that you can build cross-platform applications with Office 365. I mentioned that there are other IDEs you can work with. We do feel like Visual Studio will provide the premier development experience for building, especially with Office 365, where I don't have to jump around to different places to register an app and be able to get all the consent permissions that I need, and you'll see how that works out. And then finally, there are pitfalls in building apps with cross-platform apps with the Office 365 APIs. They're all hurdles that we can get past. They're things that, for some of the early people that built some cross-platform apps, they dealt with those, and that's good for you because there's a lot of lessons learned that hopefully will reduce any sort of challenges that you've run into. Just to level set, I know that it was kind of split between Cordova and Xamarin. Let me just to kind of give a little bit of realization, this is how I'm going to attack those objectives. So we're going to talk about native applications with the Office 365. They're a little bit different from a traditional application that connects to Office 365. We're going to spend 7.75 minutes on that. Yes, I'm being pretty exact there, but you'll see why. We're going to spend 30 minutes on Cordova and 20 on Xamarin. So if that upsets you, I apologize. The reason I'm doing it this way is that we actually have an entire dedicated session on the Xamarin front for Office 365. It's on Friday. James from Xamarin and Chax from the one of our Office 365 product groups is going to be leading that. So we don't have a deeper dive specific to Cordova, so I decided to give it a little bit more love in this session. So just to set the stage, that's kind of what we're going to do for this. And then we'll leave 2 minutes at the end for Q&A, and that should leave you with exactly 15 seconds extra time in this block. And you can, you know, turn around and give good evals based upon that because you got 15 seconds back in your day. I kid. You guys got to laugh, lighten up a little bit with me. I also have a laser here, so I will use it. From a developer vision, hopefully you guys have seen this slide or a deviation of it. This is talking about kind of what our vision is of developing applications with Office 365. We kind of have two approaches. One is being able to extend the Office experience, and the other is taking Office and bringing it into my experience. And that's really what we're concentrating on here, right? Is I'm going to build my application, a standalone mobile application that might want to connect in and be able to take advantage of not only the great services that Office 365 offers, but also being able to take advantage of that large audience that we have of subscribers within Office 365. So that's really kind of the vision that we have around this. Encourage you guys to, if I know there was not many people that raised their hand on the Office 365 developer front, we have some really great sessions this week, and I encourage you to check them out. We also have some cool swag. We have some awesome like hoodies if you go down to the booth. All right. So let's talk a little bit about native Office 365 apps and Azure AD. So I wanted to start with a little level set around our Office 365 APIs, and I think that's especially fitting for those that might be new to this that are in the room. So first of all, we have really standardized on trying to provide a comprehensive set of APIs that are going to follow technology standards. So we're going to deliver APIs that are delivered via REST and OData. They're going to be secured using OAuth. From an OAuth standpoint, what we're leveraging is Azure Active Directory. So if you didn't know, every single user in Office 365, the identity provider for them is Azure Active Directory. Sometimes that if your organization is in Office 365, that can sometimes be confusing because you get taken to your login page. That's just a federated login that takes you back and allows us to, in a sense, impersonate you with a user account that's been synchronized into the cloud. So that's really important, is that not only is Azure AD going to be the identity store for users, it's where we're going to register applications. And that's going to give us something that we call the Azure AD Common Consent Framework. And you may have not heard that term, but the idea behind this is I'm going to authenticate my user one time. And then once I authenticate them, I can reach into all the different services that leverage Azure Active Directory. So that's all the services of Office 365, like Exchange Online and SharePoint Online, OneNote. But it also extends out to other things, and we'll talk about that briefly in a little bit. We support in Azure Active Directory the concept of a delegated permission and an application permission. So the difference between those two are, one is operating as the user, one is operating at a higher level, as like an application, as like a service account where it has higher level of permissions. So when I go and leverage an application, one of the benefits of using Azure Active Directory and OAuth is, as a mobile developer, you don't have to deal with a login. You don't have to store username and passwords. You probably are going to have some concept of a user, perhaps. But that user can simply map to something that you get back from an identity in Azure Active Directory. So that's a pretty key thing and a value prop that we say about Office 365 as the identity provider for some of the apps that you write. We support all types of apps, both native apps and web applications. From a protocol standpoint, we do provide a lot of fine-grained permissions. So you can build applications that might just have read access to contacts, or maybe it has full permission to SharePoint to do anything in any site collection. So there's a lot of different granular permissions that we can work with within this. What you're seeing here is actually an authorization dialog. Because it's OAuth, if you've ever done anything with OAuth, you've seen probably a dialog pop up that says, hey, this app wants to leverage some data that you have in Office 365. And you see this all over the web. If you ever have been on Facebook and clicked on an app in there, you get that prompt that says, hey, this company wants to be able to post on your behalf and get every information that you've ever posted inside of Facebook. That's the same concept here. So as we explore the authentication components of this and the APIs that we have a pretty comprehensive list of APIs that you can be able to connect into. So this first list, these are the what we call the launch services. These are the services that we originally made available when we introduced the concept of the Office 365 APIs, which was about a year ago. And so we have things like My Files, which is OneDrive for Business. We can go to sites, calendar, contacts. We can work with mail. We can work with users and groups that are in Active Directory. Some of the new services, and some of these I'm not even sure have been completely announced, they're going to be announced this week, but there's a number of new services. I'm not even sure I have the full list here, but OneNote with Office 365 is something that's lining up to where you can go and get OneNote notebooks that might be secured behind corporate locations. User profiles, managed metadata, the new video services within Office 365, modern groups, the Office Graph. You've heard a lot about the Office Graph and being able to get rich data out of there. But one of the things I want to point out is that idea of common consent. It goes beyond just the Office 365 things. There's lots of other applications that connect with Azure Active Directory, and we can use those as well. So you can see over on the right-hand side, there's other services that I could connect into, excuse me, like Power BI. I could connect into Dynamics CRM. There's a number of third-party applications, not applications that Microsoft built, but other ISVs maybe. Even your own applications. So you might have multiple applications that you develop and produce for either customers or within your organization. Those can show up here as well and get granular permissions. So that idea of common consent is very, very powerful from that standpoint. So that's the kind of the groundwork around Azure Active Directory and how it plays with Office 365. One important thing to talk about here is what's unique about native apps. So when you go and create an app inside of Azure Active Directory, you have a choice. You can create what we call a web app or a native app. And there are some key differences in a native app. So if you've ever worked with these before, there's a few things you're going to need to know. One is a native app is inherently multi-tenant. So when I go and I build a web app in Azure Active Directory, I have a little toggle switch that lets me say I want this to be single tenant for my org, or I want it to be multi-tenant to where anyone can use it. Mobile apps don't have that concept. They all use what we call the common endpoint, which means they are inherently multi-tenant. Now, you could hard code the authority that you use through authentication. We'll look at that a little bit. But they are inherently multi-tenant. No client app or there's no secret. So if you've worked with OAuth before, a lot of times you have an app ID and an app secret, and you use that in this little dance, this OAuth flow, in order to get an access token. You don't have the concept of a secret, and it's actually a good reason. If you think about it, if I built an app, that secret is like my password to the world. And if I were to go and distribute that on every device out there, there's going to be someone that's savvy enough to go and pull down maybe the app package, dissect it, and find that secret. So we don't actually distribute a secret in a native app. They're going to use a web authentication broker. This is going to be handled by ADAL, which is the Azure Active Directory Authentication Libraries, and we'll look at this. But ultimately, even though it's a native app, so if it's iOS, you have a storyboard that your UI is built in. If it's Windows, you have a XAML file. If it's Android, you might have an XML file. Regardless of that, when you go to authenticate, we're going to launch up basically a browser window. It's going to be the Office 365 login page. Or if your customer is using ADFS, it would be their login page. But that's an important thing, is we want the user to have confidence that it is like a legitimate source that's collecting their information. We provide a number of APIs, but we don't provide any sort of controls, not yet at least. There's talk about maybe building some things like people pickers and things like that that you can easily drop in your applications, but for now, it's really just going to be endpoints that you connect into. And then finally, for a mobile app, you cannot use what we mentioned earlier, which was app-only permissions. You can only operate as the user. Now, there are ways around this. You could have a service that you host that does do app permissions that you proxy through. So if I wanted to, let's say I needed to create a new site collection in SharePoint, and that usually might take a higher level permission. Well, I could submit it to a service that's running app only and be able to do that. So there are ways around that, but natively on the device, you're only going to be able to operate as the user. All right, so let's jump into Apache Cordova. And like I said, we'll spend around 30 minutes on this, depending on time. I'll kind of monitor the time, and then we'll move on to the next component. So if you're brand new to Cordova, again, this wasn't an introductory session for Cordova and Xamarin. I'm also not going to try to debate on which one should you use. I don't even think it's not an apples to apples comparison. I think one is really geared towards a web developer, and Xamarin is really geared towards a .NET developer. I know that sometimes a .NET developer can be a web developer, so that's where you're going to have to make those types of decisions. But from a Cordova standpoint, Cordova is the same thing as PhoneGap, in a sense. So if you haven't heard of Cordova, you probably maybe have heard of PhoneGap. But the idea of this is you're going to build all of your mobile app natively in HTML5, JavaScript, and CSS. Now, you're going to be able to use all kinds of rich plugins to make it feel native. It doesn't have to feel like a web page. You don't see an address bar or anything like that. That's all hidden from the user. And it's actually deployed to the device, so it runs locally. You can be offline and use a Cordova app. In order to work with these with inside of Visual Studio, you need at least Visual Studio 2013 with Update 4 and the Visual Studio Tools for Cordova CTP 3.1. You can look at it on the slide and pull it down if you want. Visual Studio 2015, it is part of the install. It's an option when you go through the install wizard to be able to pull this down. I will warn you that to put the tooling inside of Visual Studio will put a lot of things on your computer. So my primary development machine these days is a Surface Pro 3 that has an i5 chip. So it's not a super powerful machine. And this is going to, when you install these tools, it's going to do things like activate Hyper-V so that you can run different emulators. You can stop that. So I tend to, I stopped the Hyper-V service and I use devices mainly for a lot of my development. There's also some other emulators we'll look at that don't require you to have Hyper-V at all. From an app registration, this is where it gets a little bit interesting. If I want to register an app with Office 365, I don't even have to go into Azure. I can do it directly from within Visual Studio through what we call the Add Connected Service Wizard. That's also how I can pull down the SDKs. The SDKs, and I didn't actually mention this before, but for Office 365, we have all of these REST OData endpoints, but for a lot of the endpoints, we've wrapped them in an SDK so you can work with strongly typed objects. And it's really up to you which you feel more comfortable with. From a .NET standpoint, I certainly like using the SDK. In JavaScript, it's not near as important because it's pretty easy to work with JSON in JavaScript anyway. But know that there is SDKs for both Cordova and Xamarin, and I could pull those in through the Add Connected Service Wizard, or I can use NuGet to pull those in. When I build a Cordova project and do the Add Connected Service Wizard, I'm going to get a bunch of assets that are added to my project under the services/Office 365 folder. So it's going to add a number of different script files. I don't remember the exact number. I think it's like 10 script files. Now, the interesting thing is I don't have to go add reference to all of those. I just need to add reference to one. So there's a o365loader.js, and it's going to dynamically load all the scripts that you need into your Cordova project. A few additional tips and gotchas. So first of all, in Cordova, the web authentication broker can be a little bit tricky. So it'll automatically launch a window for you and it'll provide a login experience. But I've found that what I typically do as soon as I create a new project is I go and I add the browser plugin again, and that tends to resolve a lot of the issues with that. I think that the original tooling, and it might be fixed in 3.1, but the original tooling was a little bit, at least on iOS, it was a little bit flaky in terms of how it launched that whole login process. Another tip is the Office 365 loader. It's going to load all these scripts, but it doesn't tell you when that's done. So if you were building a mobile app that as soon as the mobile app was launched, you wanted it to go through and log the user in, that's a little bit tricky to do. It's certainly achievable. I've done a few ways. One is I've done like a set timeout. I've done things where I've changed that Office 365 loader so it used like a jQuery git script so that I can actually get a callback when it's done loading all of those scripts. Because if you go and try to go and do that whole authentication flow before it's actually loaded, it will cause issues. And then finally, and this is going to be pretty consistent between both Cordova and Xamarin, you cannot build an iOS build and debug it today on Windows. I know there were some things in the keynote this morning about being able to take Objective-C and being able to compile it, but there's no way today on Visual Studio to actually go and debug that on an iOS device. So if you're going to do anything with iOS, whether that's iPhone or iPad, you really need a Mac near you, and that's why I have a Mac on stage here, is that I'm going to remotely connect to this. It's going to be basically a build box for me. And I can also use the emulators on it, or I can use a physical device, but it's going to ultimately be my build box for that. All right, so let's do a demo. I tried to make this pretty light on slides. We're going to spend more time actually building some apps. So let me switch over. And I know the first thing you're going to say is, wow, that's tiny, tiny font. I'll use Zoomit. I'll do a good job of using Zoomit, so don't worry. And I'll also zoom in on my code when we get things created. So for now, I'm going to go create a new project, and the Cordova project templates are actually going to be under JavaScript, because remember, Cordova is actually building a web page, basically. That's what it is. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to create this Apache Cordova app as a blank app, and we'll just call this, and I'm going to organize it a little bit better. We'll call this the record lookup app. And I'll go ahead and say create. And this is going to go off and provision this template. What you'll notice right off the bat is that it looks like a web project. Well, that's because it is a web project. So I have an index.html file. I have a CSS folder. I have an images folder. I mean, it's a web project. The only difference is it's going to be installed natively on a device and run natively. So let's do a few things here really quickly. First is, since this is a native app, that's going to run and use HTML technologies. Let's go and add a few NuGet packages. I'm going to add a few popular ones if you're in the web world. Let's add jQuery. It's kind of hard to do much at all client-side these days without jQuery. That's the other thing if you're new to Cordova, is it's going to be 100% client-side. There's no server-side component of this. There actually is in kind of a abstract way we'll talk about here in just a moment. But let's is finding no results for jQuery, huh? Make sure I'm connected. Oh, I'm on installed. You're right. Thank you so much. So we'll just add jQuery and maybe Bootstrap as well. Now just, you know, a couple of popular ones. So we'll go ahead and add jQuery here. We'll add Bootstrap. And now that I have these in here, we can simply start putting our page together. And I'm going to do this really simple at first. So I have our index page, and I'll kind of zoom in on this. Let's go ahead and add references to those script files. So let's just add our jQuery. Oh, come on. We'll add our reference to jQuery. We'll add our reference to Bootstrap. We'll add our Bootstrap CSS in here. All right, the other thing that this gave us automatically is an index page. And actually, I probably should have put these at the bottom of my page, but you see here, it pre-created this index.js file. If I look at the index.js file, it basically has some device-ready events or some device-based events. So it's telling me when all of the things have loaded and I'm ready to actually start running my code on this device. So you could see that here on this document ready. There's also an on pause and on resume. If you've ever built a mobile app, you need to deal with, sometimes we call it tombstoning, where you save the state and maybe refresh that. So if someone comes back to the app, it can keep on moving forward. So what I'm going to do is, before I do anything else, I'm going to make this an Office 365 app. So I'm going to come out here, I'm going to say add connected service, and I'll zoom in on this so you can see this. This is how easy we make it. So just go add connected service. And this is going to launch a wizard to pull in and register your app and pull in all of the resources that you need. So here's that wizard. You can see that I can click register my app. This is going to ask me to log in. And so I'm going to log in with one of my tenant user accounts. And now it's going to show me all the different services that are available to me. And actually, this is a little bit outdated. We haven't updated the tooling completely. There's a lot more services that are available. I mentioned some of those, like OneNote, user profiles, all these different things. But for now, let's just add a few things. Let's maybe add a permission to do single sign-on or enable sign-on to read the user's profile. Let's maybe go over to sites and do let's read, write, and all site collections. So you can see there's a service, and then there's scopes for the service. So if I wanted to maybe read contacts, I can just do read contact on here. All right. The next thing that we'll do here is you'll see that it's adding all of these scripts for me. So it's going and loading all of these into my project. And then it's going to give me a little bit of a starter page, like a README to show me how to get working with this. So what I'll do is I first need to go and add reference to that Office 365 loader. So if we look over in my Solution Explorer under Office 365, you can see there's a bunch of scripts it added. So there's a number of different scripts that help me deal with different things. So there's one for Exchange type of things. There's one for SharePoint because I added services to permissions to both. But there's also this one that's called the Office 365 Loader. And if we look at this, this is where it's basically just something that loops through all the other script files and adds those for us so that I don't have to go and add each one individually to my index page. The other interesting thing that it added here is there is actually a settings page or a settings script file that has things like my app ID and how I'm going to go and redirect to get an access token. So This right here, if you've worked with Azure Active Directory, the fact that it says common, that's actually an indication that this is a multi-tenant app. So if it wasn't multi-tenant, you'd typically specify the tenant here. So like Microsoft.com or whatever your company is.com. So this is multi-tenant. We have our redirect. It's going to handle all of that for us. We can simply start writing some code. So what I'll do is, let me put a unordered list on my page and a button. And we'll give them each a name. So we'll give this an ID of the list. And let's put a button in here. We'll call this the button. And we'll give this, make it a little bit prettier. We'll give it a button primary, and button block. These are just some bootstrap values. And let's go ahead and just call this get contacts. All right, so I'll go ahead and save this here really quickly. And what we need to now do is kind of wire that up inside of our index page. You can see right here it says Cordova has been loaded. Perform any additional initialization that you need. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just do a quick document ready. And inside of here, I'm going to wire up a quick event. So we're going to do our button click, which was the button. And we're going to do a quick on that. All right, so now we need to actually connect to Office 365 and get the user's contacts. And so the way we're going to do that is using some of those JavaScript files that it added for us. That's the SDK. Now, I could certainly try to do everything manually, but they've done a lot of work for you automatically. So things like, and I don't want to get too deep on like how auth works in OAuth, but one of the things I'm going to get back is something called a refresh token. Refresh token, if I cache that on the phone, the user will never have to log in every time they use the app. It'll automatically keep them signed in if you choose to implement a pattern like that, which I think is a good experience. You don't want a user to have to type in. I hate typing in on these little keyboards. So it's going to handle all that for me. So let's take a look at how easy it is for us to do that. So what I'm going to do is first define an auth context. And what the cool thing is when we go to Xamarin, it's going to be almost identical. Instead of being in JavaScript, I'm going to be in C#, but you'll see that it's almost identical in how I do this. So let's do a var, and we'll call this auth context. And we're going to make this equal to a new 0365 auth.context. And from here, what I'm going to do is initialize this to go and get the first of two tokens. So if you've worked with OAuth before, usually I get a context token first, and it returns for me a code, and then I go get an access token that I can use to actually perform operations. So that's what I'm going to do here. We'll go ahead and get our access token, our context token. So we'll say, auth context dot get ID token. And we're going to pass this in a service. In this case, we're going to connect to Outlook. So we're going to say outlook.office365.com. And then after that, this will return us a token. And we'll call this the C token. This is the context token. We're going to get another token here in a moment, but this is going to be the first one that we work with. The second token that I'm going to get is the actual access token. This is going to be the important one that's going to do all the work for us, that's going to allow us to actually get access to things. So we'll call this, we're going to use a special function for this. So we're going to call this our AT function. So it's just our access token function. It's going to be the C token dot get access token function. And in this, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to pass basically the same. This is what we call a resource. So everything that I connect to in Office 365 has a resource ID. They can be different things. For OneNote, it's www.onenote.com. For SharePoint, it's actually the SharePoint site. It's its base URL. It's basically saying, this is the resource I want to get access to. And so I'm specifying that resource that I want to get access to. And then I can actually go and get a client to start working with the API. So what I'm going to say is new Microsoft. And for some reason, IntelliSense usually works with these. I'm not sure. Outlook services.client, I believe, is what I need. And in this, I need to pass the endpoint that I'm going to call into. And so this is actually going to be like an OData endpoint, so where I'd actually go and make a REST call. And for this, it's going to be EWS/OData. So it's basically an OData endpoint of Exchange Web Services. And then I also need to pass this my access token function. So I'm going to put in my AT function. So it's basically what it's initializing this client, which is, again, going to be strongly typed to where I can go and work with it. But it's going to take that access token function so that it can do what it needs to. Now I can simply start working with this. So I can say client.me.contacts.getContacts fetch. And that will return me a callback with my contacts. And for now, let's just put a breakpoint in here. Let's see if we were successful up until this point. So there's a few different options I have for debugging these. One is the Visual Studio tools for Apache Cordova are going to give me something called Ripple. Ripple is an in-Chrome browser emulator for Android. It's not going to help me with iOS, but it helps me with things like Android. So I'll go ahead and use Ripple once. I find Ripple is really useful as I'm making quick changes, like, hey, this didn't quite work, I'll try something else. Because what happens in Ripple is, as soon as I make a change and I save in Visual Studio, it automatically, refreshes the app. So I get a really fast way to do development. Now, at some point, I probably want to test on a real device. So the second time around, when we do this, we'll actually use a real device. I will tell you that Ripple, I have mixed experience with. Sometimes it loads immediately, like the second I press F5. Sometimes, which it looks like we're getting right now, because obviously demo gods are going to be happy with us, it's going to wait for a little bit. In fact, we might even get a little dialogue that says it's not responding, just like that. And actually, if you just say wait, be patient, it will load. The cool thing is, all the additional changes you make, they update immediately. So you might just have to wait the first time you launch these. So we'll give this just another quick second. I will say while this is loading, because this is HTML5 and JavaScript, you can really use any type of script you might want to reference. So I'm a big fan of Angular, so I build almost all of my Cordova apps with Angular. Pretty much all of those. In fact, there's a really cool framework called Ionic that I've gotten really popular about using in these Cordova apps that combines some really great mobile UI, because that's one thing you'll notice here is you're kind of in charge of building your own user interface. You don't get native controls. Xamarin is going to give me native controls on the device, so a button is going to look like a iOS button or an Android button, whereas here it's going to look like a Bootstrap button because that's the stylings that I used. Well, let me go ahead and click get contacts. This is going to launch into a new window, or it should launch into a new window. Did I get my ID wrong? Here's a pretty cool thing, too, is I get a live DOM Explorer in here. So if I wanted to come in here and actually change the text to say, hello world. It immediately changes it. So it's pretty cool from that standpoint, but for some reason, let's try hitting our breakpoint here. What's that? Oh, you're right. Thank you. Gosh, you guys are saving me today. I forgot a pound in front of my selector in jQuery. So all I did was refresh, and it's already refreshed the app for me. So now if I say get contacts, there we hit our breakpoint, and now it should pop me through an OAuth process. Now in Ripple, the way that's going to work is it's going to launch into a new window, and I think I may have already missed it. Let me try it again.
365 awe.
I did not load my loader.js, so let's do that here really quickly. Thank you. So our loader is under services / Office 365, and then under scripts, and we'll do O365. All right, last try, and then I'm gonna pull the completed one out of the oven. So we'll go ahead and refresh it. There you go, it's refreshed. I'll go ahead and click, and I probably still am not referencing it right. Let me jump over to one that's done, just to kind of give you the experience of this. This one also, and the cool thing is, this one that I'm gonna go jump over to, this is all of the code for the entire project. So I know that's small, don't worry about it, but the point is, this does a lot with very, very little code. This is actually using Angular. You can see I have a function that gets an access token. I'm using a cool Cordova plugin for barcode scanning. So I actually, what I did is, this is like a physical records management scenario where I have a warehouse of physical records, and I want to store a reference to them in SharePoint. So I have a bunch of barcodes here that I printed out that reference actual list items inside of a SharePoint library. And so you can see here, I'm just doing a simple get in this case. So I can use the REST APIs. I don't have to use the SDK. And then when that basically comes back, I'm going to update my view model that I'm using here inside of Angular. So let's go ahead and run this one and see if this one will be a little bit happier with this. And I will apologize that my little Android display app here, it refreshes really slowly. So this might be a little bit slow to refresh. But we'll see. So it's in the background deploying here. If you look at the top here, I selected device instead of using one of the emulators. So it's actually going to go on to a device. I can also debug to the Mac if I need to do that. I run a special app over on the Mac that allows me to basically do a pairing so that I can do remote debugging on that. So it looks like it is just about deployed here. There we go. It's installing the app on the device. And the app is now launching on the device. You can see it's a little bit slower refreshing on the screen. So when you come in here, I get this empty user interface. This is all built using Ionic, so it helps me do some kind of nice looking UI. But what I want to do is, let's say I'm out in the warehouse and I need to scan some of the different physical records we have. So I'm going to go ahead and click scan. Remember, this is an HTML app, but it's going to be able to do locally on the device some pretty high-end stuff. So this is a little barcode scanner plugin, and I'm going to just come in here and let's scan this first guy. There it goes. It captured it. So it found the URL. Now it's calling out to SharePoint, and now I can see it pulled all the data. So I can see the title of this record, the category, the business unit, the building, and the location in the building. I could go scan another one here and pick it up. It's going to go do the search in SharePoint, and there it goes. It does my update. So hopefully you can see, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's an actual real functioning app, something that could be valuable for an organization that has data in SharePoint. And there is not much code to this app at all. That's 100% of the code right here. It handles all the authentication for me. You notice that it never prompted me to log in this time because it stored that. Now I could clear the cache for that app and it would prompt me to log in. But pretty powerful stuff what I can do with Cordova. All right, so if you're interested in Cordova, there are some additional sessions you can go to. There's one on general iOS and Android development. They're gonna spend a little bit of time on Cordova. It's mainly gonna be on we have Office 365 SDKs that are native for things like Xcode and Android Studio, and so you could go see those. The other one here is if you want just a general getting started with cross-platform mobile development with Apache Cordova, there's another session on that. It has nothing to do with Office 365. It's just kind of the getting started for that. Highly encourage it. I've become a huge, huge fan of what you can do quickly in Cordova. All right, let's turn our attention to Xamarin. So If I want to develop for Xamarin, again, I can either develop in Visual Studio 2015 or 2013. I list Visual Studio 2013 on here just because that is what we have that's in production today. So obviously, you know, I could go get Visual Studio 2015 that's in a beta and a CTP, and you can work with Xamarin as well. For me to work with Xamarin, I'm going to need to install Xamarin Studio. I put a little asterisk there because you should know Apache Cordova, it's free. It is an open source technology. Xamarin, there are licensing costs associated with that. That's just something to be aware of. So Xamarin Studio, if you're an MSDN subscriber, I believe that, depending on your tier, Xamarin allows you to have a developer license to where you can develop and test apps. And if you wanted to then produce an app, actually publish it out, that's when you'd want to move up to like an enterprise license of Xamarin. You're going to have the same ease of working with our APIs inside of a Xamarin project. So you're going to be able to do the app registration through Add Connected Service, and you're going to have the same way of pulling the SDKs down as through Add Connected Service. You could also use NuGet for these. I'm going to actually show you. We're going to look at some more, some alpha type things that I can do, unreleased things that make it a really good experience in Xamarin that use pure NuGet versus using that Add Connected Service. But just know that it can be that easy as just saying Add Connected Service. From a solution structure, if you are new to Xamarin, Xamarin gives you a couple options. You can build platform specific. Right, so let's say your entire organization uses iPhones or your entire organization uses Android devices. However, you're a .NET shop. That's a great, great scenario for Xamarin, right? You can have your developers that develop in .NET build for those platforms, and you can build a platform-specific app in Xamarin with Xamarin and Visual Studio. So I can pick, this is only for iOS. However, there's also what we call a shared project. A shared project looks a lot like the first version of a Windows Universal project. So if you've ever done a Windows Universal app before, you have a Windows project, a Windows Phone project, and then you have a shared project. The shared project is where you try to put all your code because it can be shared across all of those. And this is exactly what it looks like when you're in a shared project in Xamarin. I can have platform-specific code. It's going to have an app for Windows Phone, an app for iOS, and an app for Android. I can put app-specific code in those, but I also can reuse a lot of code in a shared project. And that's really the goal that I would challenge you on is try to have the same code as much as possible when you're building these types of projects. And if you go to the session on Friday that James and Chax are doing, they built a really cool application that almost 100% of it is done in the shared project. They do a few UI-specific things. You know, they might want to take advantage of some of the app-specific things, and they can do that with Xamarin. A few gotchas to know about. One other thing I should note is that another option with Xamarin is you can use what they call Xamarin Forms, which is their own kind of form framework that then gets kind of it gets translated to a device-specific control. So if I put their like a Xamarin Form button on a page, it will in a sense render an iOS button or an Android button. So it'll look like their native control. But you also have the ability of leveraging native layout. So in the new versions of Xamarin, I can actually work with iOS storyboards, and I can work with the actual XML layouts for building an Android app. A few gotchas. Again, if you're going to do anything on a Mac, you have to have a Mac to be able to build and debug against. You must create what we call a binding project if you want to use the Azure Active Directory authentication libraries. So that's ADAL. You'll hear me say ADAL a lot. Basically, what the Azure Active Directory libraries are, it's basically, it makes authentication against Azure Disney simple, like really, really simple, where you don't have to write, you know, lines and lines and lines of code. You can write like 3 lines of code to authenticate. It handles all of that, including the caching of tokens. Now, What we've done is we've created native versions of Adal on all the major mobile platforms. So we have one for Windows, we have one for iOS, we have one for Android. And instead of building like a special version just for Xamarin, what we've done is you can go and pull in a binding version of those. So you can create a binding project of those Adal assemblies or those Adal libraries and bring those into your Xamarin project. And so this is a little bit of a pain. I put it in kind of a gotcha because it's a little bit of a pain to do. Now, that being said, what I'm going to demonstrate today is what we call Adal version 3. It's an alpha preview. So if you go on Vittorio's blog, he has a lot of information on this. But this unifies the experience. I'm going to be able to have a common way that I authenticate, and I don't have to build those binding libraries. So it is an alpha, so it is subject to change, but I want to show you how easy it is to use that approach in a Xamarin project. And I think maybe James and Chax are going to cover maybe a little bit of both, but I'm going to cover it that way. I put in the slides here, I'm going to ask for a very specific version of this library, so the 3.1.2 and then a whole bunch of other numbers that I'm not going to try to recite. That one provides the most consistency that I've found across both iOS and Android and Windows types of projects. So let us jump into a demo. So I'm going to create a new project here in Visual Studio. So I'm going to say new project, and what you'll see if I explore C-sharp here, I have a few things. You see that I have iOS projects, and if you look in here, I can go and create native iOS projects. Now, these are Xamarin templates that allow me to do that. I can also target just Android, remember? So those are those platform-specific types of projects that I might want to build here, and there's a number of different interesting apps that I can do, including they already have Apple Watch templates that I can go and build things in. It's amazing. Now, what I'm going to do is actually go to mobile apps. And this is where I can start creating a shared project where I can, in a sense, try to share as much code as I can across all of the different platforms. It's going to create a project for every platform. I could remove one if I wanted to. I don't have to keep all three. But it is going to give me Windows, iOS, and Android. Now, you see there's kind of two flavors of each of these. There is the Xamarin Forms version, and then there's the native version. So the difference between these two is if I want to leverage the native layouts, so if I like working with iOS storyboards, I can use that here. I can actually mix them if I wanted to, but what I'll do is I'll go ahead and do this native one, and we'll call this my Xamarin sample. So it's going to crank away, and what you're going to find is it's going to create a number of different projects within my solution. We're going to have four. We're going to have two. We're going to have three real projects that actually get compiled, and then we're going to have a shared project. The shared project, you should know, doesn't have any references of its own. It's going to use the references of whatever project you're building. So it's really just class files that you put out here. And what is this saying? All right, so let's just explore this here really quickly, what this looks like. So you can see I have basically a shared project, which is just, if you look in here, notice there's not a references folder. I can't do any references here. I have an Android project, I have an iOS project, and I have a Windows Phone project. What I could do now is I could simply go and add a connected service to these projects. So I could go through that whole add connected services wizard. This would pull in all of the different SDKs that I might want to. Now, what I'm going to do for the sake of this demo is I'm not going to take that approach. And the main reason for that is I want to use some of those, that new Adal version 3. So I'm actually going to use NuGet for that. And I copied this in my OneNote here to make sure I grab the right one. So let's go ahead and grab this, and I'm just going to use my package manager console to go in and pull in the specific version that I want. So I'm going to first do that for my iOS project. If you look here, you select the project. If you haven't worked with NuGet in a multi-project app, you basically select the project you want. So it's added to iOS. Now I'm going to add the exact same thing to Android here. So now it's added those, and I can start taking advantage of all the greatness that this new library affords me. So the first thing that I might want to do is let's start putting some common code that I'm going to share across all of my projects. So the first thing I'm going to do is, since I didn't do Add Connected Services Wizard, one thing that I did do ahead of time, I created just a settings helper. This is basically where I've just put in things like my client ID, which is a GUID that Azure Active Directory knows about. This has things like some of the resources that I might call. It's really just a constants file. In fact, I'll paste it in here and I'll just prove that. And I'm going to change the namespace that it puts it in. So you can see it's constants. That's all it is. And this will just make it easy for me to get going quicker. And so what I'm going to do is just change my namespace so that we can quickly use that. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create an auth helper. And this is really the crux of this demonstration, is I'm going to show you how easy it is for us to do authentication and how similar it's going to be to what we did in the Cordova project. So I'm going to add a class here, and we'll just call this auth helper. One of the great things that Xamarin does is that they work really closely with Microsoft so that when I write something in maybe a modern type of syntax inside of .NET, it translates to when it goes through Mono to be deployed to an iOS device or to Android. So I'm going to be able to do all the advanced things that I might want to do in .NET. I can do like awaits and async type of functions. So let's do just really quickly, the key to getting any data out of Office 365 is working with access tokens. So let's just create a quick endpoint. We'll do a public async static. We're going to return a string, which is basically our access token. And let's just call this get access token for resource. When I mentioned common consent, I'm going to only have to authenticate once, but I am going to have to go and get an access token to any resource that I go and talk to. Now, you're never going to get re-prompted. It happens all behind the scenes. But I'm going to go ahead and just put the resource here. So we're going to get it for a resource. If you remember what we did in our first project, our record lookup, we got an auth context. And then from there, I started working with tokens. And that's exactly what I'm going to do here. So let's do a var auth context. And we're going to equal a new authentication context. And let's see if this resolves. And it does. So there we go. And actually, it looks like I need to, in this, pass my authority. So this is why I created that settings helper. So I can come in here and say settings helper dot AD authority. This is basically, if the authority is an important component of this OAuth flow that basically says, where does the user log in at? So if I were to go into this settings helper, you'll see that the authority is just, and actually I have this one hard-coded, I'll change it to common, but it can just be login.windows.net/common, and so I can simply specify that here. From here, I can start requesting access tokens. It's really that simple. I can say auth context dot acquire access token silent. So there's two different ways here, and I'll zoom in. I know that's really hard to see. But there is a silent, and then there is a non-silent. What this is I should try to get it silently first. What this will do is it'll say, hey, have you already cached a refresh token to where I don't have to prompt the user to log in? And then if that fails, as a backup, what I would do is go and get it in the more invasive way, where I actually prompt the user with a login screen. So ultimately, to go and authenticate and get an access token where I can go start calling REST or go use our SDKs are just a couple of lines of code. I do have a completed one here that I just called the SharePoint Searcher. And if we look in my auth helper that I was starting to build, this is exactly what I'm doing, is I'm getting that authentication context. I'm trying to acquire a token silently. If that fails, I just skip and go down to get the access token in the loud way, if you will. What I'll do for fun here is let's actually try to deploy or debug this on an iPhone. So what I'm going to do is switch over to my other screen here. And in the background, you'll notice that I have another Xamarin tool that allows me to pair my PC with my Mac. And it's paired here to where when I click debug, it's going to go establish a connection. We can actually see what's happening behind the scenes. So you can actually, this is the little, my terminal that shows me what's going on behind the scenes between this handshake. So it's in the process of deploying this out to the device. So it looks like it's just about done. And here in a second, we should see our app pop up. So there's the install. There's our app popping up. And now when this initially loads, give it a second. Actually, what I want to show you here is, even though this is running on my Mac, if I come back over here, I'm hitting breakpoints on my PC. So we can still have a really good experience of debugging these. But I'll go ahead and let these play through. What you'll see here is it's going to prompt me with that Office 365 sign-in screen. So I could go ahead and provide my credentials, and then it would be able to give me access to the resources that I wanted. So I am out of time, but I do want to cover a couple things. There are some great sessions. If you want the in-depth view of Xamarin with Office 365, it's that top one right here that James and Chax are going to be doing on Friday. Highly recommend it. I've seen what they've built for it. They got a great solution out on GitHub that you'll be able to pull down and see how it was built. There's also getting started with Xamarin and Visual Studio that's on day 3 as well. So check those out. Here's a few helpful links that you can go grab. There's an ultimate guide to the 8-OWL bindings, where you can get that one NuGet, that specific NuGet version. So download the slides if you want these. Really quickly, I will hang out for questions, but I did want to jump to just make sure you guys do your evaluations. This is really important for this conference to keep the quality up of presentations. We need your feedback on things, so make sure you go and fill out your evals. I appreciate everyone staying. I failed in terms of my time. I'm 2 minutes over, but I really appreciate you guys coming, and I'm happy to hang out here at the front and answer any questions you guys have about this. Thanks so much.